So, Hare Krishna, how are you all doing? Tired? No? Little. Okay, then you need some energetic exercise. Amala Bunanaji, we are waiting for you only. Not waiting, you just come in time. So I want to welcome you very, very affectionately. I'm sorry, I just, our devotee, what is your name? What is your brother-in-law, Govinda? Our Govinda Prabhu said, Maharaj, are you getting accustomed to French time? I'm sorry, I just sleep was also there. But now we are ready for the second part of our Kirtan Arrow. The mic. I have a mic. It needs to be louder. See, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Let me see if it's loud enough. It's a sound check. We are making it louder. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Mandakini. Ki Jai. Welcome. Hare Krishna. I think it's loud enough now. Yes? Good. This is Sebastian. Sebastian can build an airplane in 2 days from just the forest, and what the forest supplies. He's really a technical expert who does everything. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Amen.
really important that you produce the sound and then you hear your own sound production with great attention. It's really very important. And then you bring also later your heart in there by just thinking of Krishna or looking at his beautiful picture. So please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you for this second part of our Japa and Kirtan seminar. In the first part, we have learned the first of five principles in good Japa and Kirtan, which was alignment. Alignment comes from the French word aligner. At least Gaura Hari, my servant, tells me that. That means to put on a line. When we wish that a motor functions properly, we have to put a few things on line. The fuel has to be there. The cylinders. And then some force can be generated, some strength can be generated. If things are not together, so to say, working harmoniously, then they will divert from the main activity. So alignment simply means to take what we have, body, mind and heart, and connect it with a sound vibration. That was the idea of yesterday's seminar. Today we will move one step ahead, and I request you to pay close attention, because as far as I am concerned, as far as what I can really teach from experience, this might be one of the three points where I feel most, where I personally feel this is most important, and it has helped me to make a difference. It is chanting in Sambandha. I still remember one extraordinary gift which Krishna gave me in my life, where I learned this, or became attentive to this. It was maybe 8 years ago, when I was going for a pilgrimage up the Ganga. We started in Haridwar, and I moved to Gangotri, and then I walked for 24 kilometers up the Ganga to come to Gomukh, that glacier. From there, Mother Ganga just rushes forth. So I remember I had gone with two other devotees, but they were faster than I was, so I was alone walking on this little path, a beautiful path which I recommend you all to take, and I was really slow and came into that period of 4 o'clock. No one should walk in the Himalayas when you are high up at 4 o'clock, because that's the time when the strong winds come. So I had been a little bit slow. I had sung all the way when I was walking, and that was most probably why I was so slow. All of a sudden the wind started. First it was a slow wind, then it became, and then finally it was a storm which was so strong that I lost my balance on that little path. And that's not good when you go up there. It goes really deep down. So I decided, let me wait until the heaviest storm are over. I hid behind a rock and I was there chanting. All of a sudden, my dear devotees, something unexpected caught my attention. I looked, here was the rock, here was the storm coming and breaking against the rock, but I was behind the rock, and I looked into a valley where there were birch trees, these white trees, and I saw on a rock a sadhu. He had long hair and a beard, and I couldn't hear him. I could only see the storm. But in a way, I heard him. He was there. The sun was shining on him, all alone in this forest. And he chanted something. He had a japa mala, and I don't know if he sung or if he did japa. I cannot say because I didn't hear him. But in a way, I heard him, or better, I heard his heart. He was chanting there. The sun was on his face, and he was crying. Such beautiful tears, not tears of me and mine, but tears of God consciousness. He was just lost in the names of his beloved Lord. From his external appearance, I could see he was a Ram Bhakta. He sang most probably Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, which later becomes Sia Ram, Sia Ram, Sia Ram. That's how they chant the names. And my dear devotees, I can, even when I see it now, I just feel, wow, he was together with Sita Ram. He was all alone in the high up in the Himalayas. He didn't see me because I was at a place, and I think he didn't care if there would be anyone. He was lost in the name of Ram. When I saw him, I remembered something which one Bengali gentleman said about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's chanting. He was a neighbor to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he described how Bhaktivinoda Thakur had put in his garden a cement chair. There was a chair with some bricks and a little cement over it, and he would sit there early in the morning and chant. And the neighbor remembered he chanted so loud and so in such a special way, as if he was calling for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, like we call, Oh Amalapuran, Oh Amalapuran, Oh come, come, come. You know, there is this calling for someone. It has a certain sound. And when I heard this, I remembered how Prabhupada said, chanting should be done like a child who calls for the mother. You might have heard. So I put the three things together. The sadhu in the Himalayan mountains, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sitting on his cement chair, and Prabhupada's instruction to us to chant as if a child calls for the mother. And I put it together, but only after I had obtained a copy of Harinam Chintamani could I really understand the principle. The principle which I would like to talk about to you, and then we will make a little exercise. We will make a meditation very soon, which you will never forget. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the third chapter of Harinam Chintamani, text 15, that we need to chant in an awareness of our relationship with Krishna. And he says, if you chant without that, without an awareness of your relationship to Krishna, you will only obtain a shadow of the holy name. How do we say shadow in French language? Ombre. Ombre. There seem to be different pandits about the ombre. Yeah, ombre. My authority is Govinda in this matter. There seems to be you only get a shadow, an ombre of the holy name, not the real name. He distinguishes between the real name and the shadow of the name, just like we would distinguish between a thermos flask and the shadow of the thermos flask, or the real apple and the shadow of the apple. Now please think about this.
What you say about the vanish, you say vanish, you like the parfum vanish, is the point? I do not understand your
I was not
No,
this is awareness, not vani.
Awareness.
Yeah, awareness, good, yeah. Awareness of a relationship, yeah. I was thinking you were in a different lecture. awareness, we should be conscious of that we have a relationship with Krishna. And he says, when you don't chant with this awareness that you are related to Krishna, and what this means will come out very clear in a moment, then, my dear devotees, you only have the shadow of the holy name. Now just think of this one thing. You are hungry. There is a pizza. And you are invited for the meal, for the noon meal, and you're really hungry, and your host says, for economical reasons, we will serve you today the shadow of a pizza. economical reasons. You would remain hungry, and as a result, you would most probably go somewhere else to get your meal. So when you chant the holy name, but you only have the shadow of the holy name, you will remain spiritually hungry, and as a result, you will most probably live a more materially oriented life to get your, you know, your meal in Maya, in the Maya world. I personally think that someone who is not satisfied on the spiritual level, he will be forced to look for satisfaction in the illusory world. He will be forced. Why forced? Why can't he just be neutral? That is, okay, he's not satisfied spiritually, but why does this mean he has to now go to Maya? It's because of the constitutional nature of our soul. We want enjoyment. We want that. We need that. Like water. So if you don't get it spiritually, you will have almost no other choice than to look for material and illusory satisfaction. Therefore, I think it is very, very necessary to get spiritually nourished. Otherwise, our hearts feel spiritually weak, and we become willing to offend the holy name. So to end this, my observation is much time in my life I have spent in shadow chanting, and I look into the world and I see many devotees of Krishna. They are not satisfied spiritually because they are getting only the shadow of spiritual life. They get only the shadow of spiritual realizations. Something which resembles, which looks alike, but which is not the real thing. And therefore, they are spiritually just not so strong as they wish to be. This comes from shadow chanting. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends an easy meditation to end this shadow chanting. Are you interested in this?
Yeah.
Good. Sambandha, the Sanskrit word sambandha, means relationship. But what it also means, bandha means a bond. See, this karatal, they are bound together by this string. They are always together by a bond. So sambandha is a type of knowledge which bonds you together with Krishna, which binds you together. Now, sambandha starts in a very general way and later becomes more specific. In a general way, you just know I'm a part of Krishna. And later, when you chant the holy name, free from offenses, the holy name will reveal to you your particular spiritual identity or constitutional nature. It will reveal to you your form, your characteristics, your qualities, and also the activities of service which you do in relationship to Krishna. Just like the name, holy name, first will reveal its name, and then when you chant, you see the beautiful form of Krishna, you understand the one.
Before I will take a few questions, I just wanted to share with you an observation which I made. Did you notice when we were starting our japa session that intuitively the group wanted to chant in one voice? Did you notice that? We all wanted to Hare Krishna, like in one voice. Because we had done kirtan, and in kirtan we of course chant in one voice. See, it's easier to chant in one voice. In other words, it's easier to do kirtan, because in kirtan we each help each other and carry each other to chant the holy name. So it is natural that our intuitive, spontaneous pulling is towards kirtan. In japa, it requires much more effort, individual effort, to remain focused than in kirtan. In kirtan, it seems that the devotees are always helping us to bring us back to the kirtan, especially when we chant the serious devotees in kirtan. So in this age of Kali, it's really kirtan which has, or sankirtan it's called, kirtan with many, which takes the superior position over all other forms of sadhana, all other forms of sadhana. Jiva Goswami makes this point clear in his Bhakti Sandarbha, where he says, Sankirtan, that is, oops, did I do something wrong? Oh.
Thank you. Jiva Goswami makes this point very clear in the Bhakti Sandarbha, where he says, Sankirtan is superior even to kirtan, or chanting done with many is superior to chanting done alone, because it creates such extraordinary devotional feelings. These devotional feelings can happen also in kirtan or also in japa, you know, when you chant alone, when you just do this little effort to bring yourself in connection with Krishna. Please take from this day the lesson chanting with sambandha, with relationship. Experiment with it a little bit. It might take you some time to do it. It might take a little practice before it comes normally, and it helps you when you, for instance, when you do your japa, have a picture of the deities, or chant before the deities. It helps you and address them. Or when you sing in the temple in Sankirtan, just either look at the deities, or when the curtain is closed, or when you are maybe in a situation where you are not in a temple, just mentally come into the presence of Krishna, and you will see that your whole chanting experience is an experience which is as different as eating the shadow of a pizza as opposed to eating a real pizza. You know, it's a huge difference to do shadow chanting and to do connected chanting. It is all the difference. And I must personally tell you, in my little devotional life, in my insignificant life, I have noted when I saw this man, this Ram Bhakta, somewhere in the Himalayas, in a lost valley, sitting under the birch tree, he didn't need anyone or anything. His tears of ecstasy showed he had found Lord Rama in his holy name. He didn't need anyone or anything. He was just there alone, but in the best company. Alone and in the best company, he was there. Yeah? Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur sitting on his cement chair, you know, and calling, "Hey Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." Alone and in the best company. This is a very, very crucial point in chanting Hare Krishna. Alone and in the best company. Think about it and practice it, and you will see, your whole life will change. Really, it's not just some empty words. Many devotees, when they arrived at that state, alone and in the best company, and from there you can go into the world of relationships. You can carry something into this relationship. You can carry a divine quality into this relationship. A scent, a little fragrance of your contact with Krishna, which you have made. It's almost, you know, like when a person comes from a perfume shop, and you, "Oh my God, you smell so good, what happened to you?" "I was in a perfume shop." He carries the fragrance of perfume. So when you learn to chant in connection and then come in your relationship, you will carry the fragrance, Amar Kapuran. Now the fragrance, the sweet scent of Krishna consciousness, and your relationships will so much improve. Really, it will change totally. Bring the scent of Krishna consciousness, the perfume of Krishna, by that context. So now we have 10 more minutes left. There were some questions. One question was left from yesterday. Maybe it's finished. Question finished. Good. Anyone has a question to what we talked today? Govindaji and Vaikuntha Priya. Vaikuntha Priya? Yes. So, Govindaji.
I think it's the same question.
Yeah? you were discussing. Here comes a double question. This has double weight. Yes, one moment after. Yes. If there is a French question, you can already get the French translation, Gaurangi, while we talk. And yes. Good. Please.
So you gave the example of crying for a child crying for her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So in this example, there is already a relationship between the mother and the child. The child knows the mother knows the child. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't have a personal connection with Krishna right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never, relationship means both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So personal relationship, for me, it's like if I had a spontaneous desire to serve Krishna. So I don't have this desire. I don't live a personal relationship with Krishna. I may have faith in the existence of Krishna, I may know descriptions through the scriptures, but as far as personal relationship, for me it's difficult to project myself in the spiritual world with Krishna and hovering, like you said in the class this morning, playing with Krishna and Balaram. For me, it sounds like artificial. So, I may cry like often.
Often, yeah.
Because I don't have mother. I don't know my mother. I would like. And also in the mood of maybe asking for to get this spontaneous loving desire to serve the Lord in this way. And for me, this personal relationship starting through the personal relationship with the Guru. And it is this form of Krishna is easier for me. It's easier to relate to as the spiritual master as non-different than Krishna. And also concerning the chanting of the Mahamantra, to sing like to chant like a service for the Guru and under the guidance of the Guru and with the explanation of the Guru about the Mahamantra, then I feel comfortable.
I'm very grateful that you shared what you shared. And I request you to consider this point which I will present now. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should be aware of our relationship to Krishna, he doesn't speak of the relationship which is filled with rasa, where you know your identity and where you have an experience how Krishna relates to you as a friend or as a master, say you are a servant, Mandasya Rasa, or in any other of the four relationships. We don't speak about this. It's not that. That comes later when it is revealed by the holy name. Here, some mother and the child have such a relationship. Oh my God, you can't believe them. We say in German, Muttersender. Muttersender means the mother is always tuned in to her child. You know that I can imagine we have some mothers here. If their child scream 5 kilometers from here, they somehow get it. They have such a relationship and they run the 5 kilometers. It's almost mystical about how this relationship goes through steel and through any outer barrier. But can we say that we have such a relationship? I think we have a lost relationship. A relationship is there, but we are not conscious about it. We are part and parcels of Krishna. I mean it like this. I know that there's a lot of discussion, did we fall from the spiritual world? But I don't wish to, I mean, we don't, this discussion is an important discussion, but it's not now relevant to our discussion which we have now. We are part and parcels of God. We are divine. We are soul. And the soul is part of God. In that general sense, we have a relationship with Krishna. And but it's lost. We are now not aware of it. But when there is a relationship which is lost, it can easily come. I made this experience because I ran away from home when I was 16 and I never ever contacted my parents. I once asked them for 10,000 euros, and they, because the devotees needed travel money to visit Prabhupada, and we were poor, and they gave that, and then our Hamburg temple went on the money of my rich parents. But otherwise, I had no contact for many, many years. Then I heard how many of our devotees had gone to a system of therapy, which is called family therapy. It's based on the therapeut Bert Hellinger, and it's just a simple thing. He says when your relationship to the parents is broken, you are not functioning as a whole person. And some devotees, I don't know if you have this, devotees in such interest also in France, but some of our German devotees went for some help to this kind of therapy where you just acknowledge your father and your mother. And they said this worked wonders, and they looked differently. They were not, some about 10 did this out of a big group. And I thought, well, I don't go to therapists, that's not my nature, but let me try something. Let me invite my parents to my birthday. Mm-hmm. Birthday for me means many people come. So I invited my parents. This was the first contact after something like 25 or 30 years. You know. And I really, at that time, saw my father not with any filial or son-like relationship. I saw him as a rich man, as a director, one of the directors of the German railway, and as a person from the Nazi regime who was not captured, who had escaped. I saw him like that. I had not much of an emotional connection. But then we spoke. I said, I don't do it with a therapist, I do it with my real father. We spoke, and we spoke. I still remember, it was a very romantic place. We made a walk. There was a big tree and a river, yes, a little river. And we spoke and we spoke and we spoke about many things of mutual interest, self-realization and so on. And I began to feel, my God, he's my father. I have a father, a worldly father. I had forgotten that. And as we talked, the relationship, which was cut at one stage, began to manifest, because inherently it's always there. I mean, you also have a father, and we all have father, and we all have mother. But we may forget it, or we may lose it, but it's still there. And when you become active in it, it comes. So anyone, especially when you go to Vrindavan, which is the home of Krishna, or to Mayapur, which is the home of Gauranga, and engage in chanting and devotional practices there in the home place, you really feel there's Krishna, and I have a relationship. It's something which no one has to tell you. It's something which comes. And I'm speaking, please remember, I'm speaking in a very general way here. I'm not speaking of the relationship with Rasa, which for that you need to know your Sthayi Bhava, and some factors need to be known. No, I'm just thinking here of that simple fact, we are part and parcels of Krishna. And I must admit something to you which you will find interesting. I'm giving my many seminars and retreats now all over the world, and I'm giving them to temple devotees, and majority of the seminars to congregational devotees, and now I'm thinking of, they're always completely new people. And you know what I have found out? The new people, they all can understand, yes, we have a relationship to God. The congregational people can understand it also, but the temple devotees don't think that. And I'm asking myself, why? Why do the devotees of Krishna, we are devotees of Krishna, not feel that they have a relationship with their Lord? Why? I think it is because of two reasons. We very much stress the Guru, and that we have a relationship with the Guru, which is fine and which is wonderful, and I, believe it or not, I also have a Guru, and I have stayed with this Guru for 40 years. I think my Guru is most wonderful. It's not that I'm against Guru. otherwise, I wouldn't sit here. But see, the Guru is described to be a transparent media. Our devotion doesn't stop at his door. His door is made of glass. We can look through it and find Krishna on his altar. And he will say, look, look, my Krishna is there. That is very important. I think, yes, we are guru. We need a guru. It's very important. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking about the Guru. I happen to be one of those myself as a service, you know. I think it's important. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this service, which is very difficult at times. But I think of transparency very much. It's very important. It's very, very, very important. The way I do understand my training from my Guru, he always said, give the best to Krishna. Please, Krishna, we need to offer the best for the Lord. He always insisted on serving the Lord. But maybe because of a lot of Guru consciousness, we have understood that that we are devotees of Krishna. That's one explanation which I have, why this is the situation in the temple. And the other explanation is, of course, Prabhupada did warn us against sahajiyaism. That means you think of a very like a light. But this sahajiyaism refers to the relationship where a devotee thinks he has a rasa, and he does things like Jiva Goswami as a child taking his deities and sleeping with the deities. That's lovable for a child. But if for instance, we would do it, someone would steal the little deities from the Numayapur altar and put them on the chest and sleep, we would think that is not the correct way. You know, we would say this is. So, with this relationship, I do remember when there was problem, and here I'm coming to the end, and there was problem in one temple. Devotees had some problems, and Prabhupada, they were very disenchanted. They wanted to leave, and I heard this on a tape. Prabhupada was speaking with these, don't leave. Why are you leaving? And they said, this temple commander, that temple president, and such, and you know. And Prabhupada said, this is you're a devotee of Krishna. Krishna will not disappoint you. Now he said, go before the deity and chant to Krishna. He said like this, go before the deity. Then the devotee said, but then the temple commander will say, work, 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 do service. Then you say, said Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, you should go before the temple deity and you should chant and nothing else. Chant to Krishna. This relationship with Krishna is very important. And by the way, our movement is called the Movement for Krishna Consciousness, if it has escaped your attention. it's about Krishna. We are conscious of Krishna. But really, I am surprised. For some reason, the devotees, when they hear chant in a relationship with Krishna, they go, oh, this is some crazy Swami from Germany who says. And I say, Prabhu, this is Parinam Chintamani, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says he's our acharya for these. He has written two books on chanting, Harinam Chintamani, and his sequel, Vajan Rahasya. It's authorized. It's our Sampradaya. And I have quotations of Prabhupada about this because you need to be armed nowadays when you give a seminar in ISKCON. Then you don't speculate and so on. And I find it far out, really. I find it far out, but it's really necessary. So I request you, my good Priya Prabhu and Govinda Prabhu, because this question came from the laboratory of your minds. try sit before the deities of Krishna Balaram, look at them, or your deities Radha, don't say it, Govinda Madhava. Radha Govinda Madhava. Neutral, learn. Sit and chant before them, and no need to make any big mental effort. You just sit and chant before them, and you see there is a difference when you connect to when your mind goes all over the universe and all over the place. You will see, you feel just more connected. Make an experience. You know, or this is a big point of which I feel is important. The real truth of Krishna consciousness, you can only become convinced by an experience. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, our Sanatana Goswami quotes a verse and says, experience is a very, very important teacher. I also want to say one thing, because I need to say it. When I do these meditational exercises, I'm very, very aware that we don't do this very often in our temples and societies. My goal here is not to introduce meditation to the devotees. I'm doing it to just bring them a little bit out of their ordinary consciousness, where they are connected with the body and the mind. I'm removing them a little bit through this. These are all things so that we can understand we are soul, at least theoretically, and then practice from that spiritual platform. It's not that I'm recommending you to do these meditational exercises. It's what I recommend to you is to practice Krishna consciousness on the spiritual platform and see the difference from practicing it on the when you are still identified with the body and the mind. There is a difference. Real spiritual life starts from that spiritual platform, and you will see really changes. Good. Mm-hmm. It was a very good question. Vaikuntha Priya, you have very, very good questions. I really thank you very much, because you voice very much what is in the air, and it's very important when we come to a seminar like this, that we want to really explore the subject matter from all perspectives. It's very, very good. Yes, Madhava?
Regarding
sharing, actually. Sharing. Yeah.
Mentioned by Prabhupada said we should cry out like a child crying to his mother when he can. I was also taught the same way. And he also mentioned that if you cannot cry out to Krishna, then cry, because you cannot cry out to Krishna.
So, but
to be able to even cry, because you cannot cry, you need to look at ourselves in the heart. Our qualities, Vaishnava Acharyas in their songs, they have no quality whatsoever. Please give me your mercy. I mean, we don't even have to have like a child and mother relationship with the Lord. We just have to, like, you know, be sincere and look in our hearts and feel totally unqualified. And just, you know, through praying, through the kirtan, through chanting, you know, offer those prayers to Krishna, so to speak. that's the relationship of just being lost.
Wonderful point. Wonderful point. It's very interesting when Jiva Goswami says that Sankirtan is superior to all sadhanas. He says, when it is done in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he gives the verse Trinada Pisuni Chena Toro Taro Iva Sahishnada, and that mood of humility and so on. Yes, we said this a lot at the old times. When you can't cry for Krishna, cry that you can't cry for Krishna. And, you know, in that humble mood, something happens. A little, the relationship starts a little bit, the praying kind of thing. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Now are many questions. What should we do? It's quarter past one. Mandikini, what is your order? Oui, oui. Yes, I will now be very brief. So who is next? I saw, yes, our devotee is next there in the, yeah. Gaurangi, you should know the question now, by now. Not clear for you. So clarify it between the two of you, and then you can. So this English Prabhu, English speaking Prabhu.
Jamashtami. My comment is just in connection with what you said, Maharaj. I read in the Namamrita, Srila Prabhupada says, so this is what is meant. He said you can chant offensively only if you first take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And he
Yes, humility is very important. It's very important. You can only think of a relationship with Krishna when you, if you don't like the word relationship, you know, connectedness or Krishna is here, he's my master, you're the servant. Is that so difficult? Why do you run away from this point? It's our first lecture we have in our temples. But really, you are right. You enter that when you are humble and you understand I'm not the body. The body has not so much a relationship with Krishna. It has also, Krishna has created the material world. But as soul, we are connected. And this Trinadapi verse really brings us to the platform of the soul. I'm lower than the straw in the grass. It is, I'm the 10,000th part of the tip of the hair. I'm your lost servant. Then the fifth verse of Shikshastakama, I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Oh Krishna, please lift me up from this ocean and fix me as a little part on your lotus feet. Just like the lotus pollen, the dust, you know, sticks always to the lotus flower, the dust of the lotus pollen. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu prays here that he wants to stick to Krishna. Connection. Very important. This is what the devotee, this is the life breath of a devotee to think. You are right. We enter this palace of bhakti, so one devotee said, on our belly. We should not walk. We should crawl on our belly. Trinada peace nichena. That's the road into this palace of bhakti. So here is the question of our Prabhu, without a commentary by Gaurangi, just the question, yes. Is it normal to feel presence of Krishna all the time? Congratulations if you feel it. I remember a lecture where Prabhupada wanted his audience to understand Krishna is everywhere. And we have, I'm sorry, I'm driving my point home. We have a relationship. He said, it was in Stockholm, even if you are a drunkard. And I remember at that time 50% of the audience went like this. even if you are a drunkard, you can also think of Krishna. Think that the taste in the wine, that is Krishna. Prabhupada would say, when they drink water, drink, you know, they should know the taste of the water is Krishna. Yesterday I was walking on that path. By the way, all of you who are guests in New Mayapur, there's this beautiful path which is like a circle path. You start almost where you go to the mud houses, but you go a little other path and you go around. And I was walking through this beautiful nature and I could understand there was so much, first some good scent of the roses was in the air. I could understand how Krishna says, I'm the original fragrance of the earth which goes into the roses. And I feel, well, my Lord is in New Mayapur. I can feel him. You know, then this night I was going out of my cottage and I heard so much sound from the forest. Foxes were barking, woof, woof, woof. There was this owl who made the sound. Oh, oh, you've heard it. And I could feel, oh, my Lord is in the atmosphere because he's just very near. He's just around the corner. I could think that he says he's the sound in the ether. Then I looked up and saw the beautiful moon. And then I remembered Krishna saying, I enter the moon and through the rays of the moon, I nourish all the vegetables. And I was thinking like this, and I had some dates from iron, from Persia, and I thought, these are nourished by the rays of the moon, by my Krishna. Now I can eat it, you know. And in this way, you can train your mind to think of Krishna and not forget him. Actually, the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to always remember Krishna and not forget him. We must train our mind. It's a fact what our laboratory of thinkers have produced, that question. We don't feel we have a relationship, but that's very unfortunate. And we need to train that in some ways, you know. When we do train this, we will come to remember Krishna everywhere. He is all around. Once there was a monk, I have to tell you. The monk came to a village of atheists. I don't know, it's somewhere in India, but I've never seen a village of atheists in India. And they said to him, where's your God? And he said, everywhere. But show us, where is he? Then the monk said, give me a glass of milk. I first need to drink before I can discuss with you. And then they got the milk for him. And then the monk said, there's butter in this glass. No, 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 said the atheist, there is no butter. We cleansed it very well. No, no, there's butter. Why did you keep the butter in this glass? There is no butter, just drink it. Then he said, ha-ha, I will show you how is the butter. And then he took a rod and made like this and said, here's butter. You know, when you go like this, there's butter. You see, but you don't see. In the same way, God is present everywhere, but you just don't see him because you are so conditioned and so covered. And by chanting Hare Krishna, this covering will go away and you will see there is no place where there is no God. Once there was a sadhu, you see, now I'm talking from my inner conviction. There was a sadhu who was walking and he fell asleep and he laid on the ground like it's natural in India. Then a Muslim came and said, you're pointing with your feet towards the mosque. This is offensive. So the sadhu said, I'm very, very sorry. I was just so tired. Can you just take my foot and point them in the direction where there is no God? The Muslim just took the foot and said, no God? I mean, Allah is everywhere, no? He said, keep your feet. I hope you come to this level. If you see God everywhere, I don't know if you already see him everywhere and all the time, because then you would look a little bit different. Yeah. You would be totally detached from everything else. You would be in ecstasy all the time, from morning till evening, and so on. But if Hare Krishna, energy, okay, energy, Dobro, very good, congratulations, very good, very good. Yeah. My dear devotees, it's 25. We will have a last question, Mataji, tomorrow. Tomorrow, good. Tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Just a quick announcement. We've changed the prasadam time to 1:30, so you have 5 minutes to line up.